Hello, everyone. This is Dan Sheridan with Cross and Throne Ministries. Welcome to Sheridan on Romans. And this is number 3 in our series as we've been going through Paul's letter to the Romans. And we hope that you open up your Bible and join us as we go through this book verse by verse. And I hope you have taken our advice and read the sections that we laid out before you in previous programs here. Romans 1 through 4. Romans 5 through 8, Romans 9 through 11, and Romans 12 through 16. As if you, and you remember, we gave each section a title. Romans 1 through 5 is justification. Romans 6 through, Romans 1 through 4 is justification. Romans 5 through 8 is sanctification. Romans 9 through 11 is dispensation. And Romans 12 through 16 is vocation. I thought it would just be an easy way to remember that. And these titles I've come up with are my own. You can take them or leave them as you please. They're just kind of guideposts to help you in the study of this letter. So we're in Paul's letter to the Romans. And we've covered part of verse 1. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. Now I want you to notice Paul is separated, and there are a couple instances where we see the phrase separated. In Galatians 1 verse 15 to 16 we read about Paul's separation, and if you turn to Galatians 1 we read this, verse 15, "But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb, and called me by his grace, to reveal his Son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen." So God separated Paul from his mother's womb. That was before he was birthed, and God had separated Paul from his mother's womb. And God was going to reveal his Son in Paul. What does that mean? Well, some say that the revealing of his Son was just God saved him and told him about Christ. Well, I think there's a little bit more to that. God revealed his Son in Paul in the sense that he revealed to Paul the person of the Son of God in his roles to the nations. In other words, throughout Scripture, the Lord Jesus Christ had various roles to fulfill. He was he's the Messiah of Israel in the ministry of the apostles. But with Paul, he's not the Messiah of the nations. He is the Savior of all mankind. He is the head of the body, the church. And these are roles which were not revealed to other authors of Scripture, whether it's Peter or the prophets of old. Throughout the Scriptures, we see the glories of the Son of God expanding. More is revealed about him, and to Paul was given the crown of that revelation in his ministry. So we see in Galatians 1, Paul was separated from the womb, and then in Acts chapter 9 verse 15, we see another place. Acts chapter 9, if you turn there, Acts chapter 9 verse 15. "But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake." So Paul was the chosen vessel. He was separated by God. And in Acts 13, we see this take place. Acts chapter 13 verses 1. And it says, verse 1 and 2, it says, "Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, that is called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." And that's Acts chapter 13. So we see Paul was separated by God. He was separated from his mother's womb, and then we see the separation take place in Acts chapter 13. God had chosen Paul before Paul had ever chosen God. Paul was chosen by God for this message. And notice what it says in verse 1. "Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God." Some people think of separation in the sense of just being separated from something, but here it's a separation to something. Paul was separated unto the gospel of God, or the good news of God, or the concordant version, the evangel of God. I want you to ponder this. We're going to take a moment here to reflect on this. Paul was separated unto God's good news. God has good news. It's the good news of God. And in verse 2 in the King James, we have a parenthesis. And if we skip the parenthesis, we would read it this way. He separated unto the gospel of God concerning his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. So Paul was separated to the gospel of God concerning his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. I want you to ponder this, because today we have so-called gospel preaching. And the gospel preaching today is so centered around man and his sins. The gospel of God is not about your sin. The gospel of God is not about you getting your life clean. I remember one preacher called himself a sin buster. Well, buster, that's not the gospel. The gospel is not about sin. The gospel is about the accomplishments of Jesus Christ. Why is it that today we are so occupied with sin? God isn't. God sent his Son. God done away with sin through the work of the cross of Calvary, through the work of his Son. And yet we are so preoccupied with sin. And the gospel is God's good news concerning his Son, concerning the accomplishments of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. And so this is the good news to which Paul was separated. Well, in Romans 1, 2, and 3, we are going to see Paul talking about the sinfulness of man, but the sinfulness of man only gives man the right, if I can use that phrase, it entitles man to the salvation of God. Our sins is what entitles us to the salvation of God. Now, some people are going to take these verses wrong, and they're going to, I heard people talk about easy believism, and there's this lordship salvation going out there. I don't want anything, I don't even need to comment, because it's so silly. God's good news is concerning his Son. Some people are just not satisfied when God is satisfied. If God is satisfied with the finished work of Christ, we should be satisfied with it. And so Romans here says they're separated unto the gospel of God concerning his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. The gospel is not about your sins. It's not about your sanctification. It's not about getting sin out of your life. It's not about trying harder or doing your best. The good news, the gospel of God that Paul proclaimed, was concerning God's Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. And so gospel teaching today should be centered around the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is Christ who died for our sins. It is Christ who was buried. It is Christ who was raised again the third day according to the Scriptures. It was Christ who accomplished the saving work. It is his job to be a Savior. It is our job to be saved. He does all the saving. We do all the being saved. We did all the sinning. He did all the saving. Sin is not an issue, friends. If you're a sinner, good. That means you can have a Savior. Sins entitle you to the saving work of Jesus Christ. Even his very name, in the Gospel of Matthew, it says his name shall be called Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Of course, that's referring to Israel. But the very name Jesus connects him with the sinfulness of mankind. So what does that mean? That means his name is suited to saving sinners. So friends, don't fret about your sins. God is done with them. Accept Jesus Christ. Believe in his accomplishments, and you will find the more you rejoice in the person and work of Christ, the less you'll be preoccupied with your failures. Well, he's separated into the gospel of God. Verse 2 is an amazing comment. It says, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. And we're going to be seeing in these studies that the gospel is no longer a promise. God promised, made promises in the Old Testament. And we're going to see in Romans 4 that Abraham believed in a promise. You and I do not believe in a promise today. We believe in an accomplished work. But what Paul is doing, he's connecting the gospel he's proclaiming with all that went before. It says, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. And just as there's a couple of references, let's turn to Acts chapter 24, verse 14, where Paul, in his preaching in the book of Acts, this is what he says, Acts 24, verse 14. We read, but this I confess unto thee, that after the way which they call heresy, so worship I the God of my fathers, believing all things which are written in the law and in the prophets. Paul is saying that everything he's proclaiming is connected with what went before. Now, there are some things that he's going to proclaim in his letters that were not something that was before revealed before. He's going to talk about some mysteries that weren't revealed in the prophets. But what Paul proclaiming, the scriptures promised a coming Savior. The scriptures spoke about the coming death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 26, verse 6 and 7, let's see what Paul says. And now I stand and am judged for the hope of the promise made of God unto our fathers, unto which promise our 12 tribes, instantly serving God day and night, hope to come. And he goes and talks about the resurrection. Paul said this was a promise of God made to the fathers. Acts chapter 6, verse 26, Acts chapter 26, verse 22 and 23 we read, having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day, witnessing both the small and great, saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come. Now what are those things? Verse 23, that Christ should suffer, and that he should be the first that should rise from the dead, and show light unto the people and to the Gentiles. That's true. And this was in the prophets in the Old Testament. And in Acts chapter 28, verse 23, we read, and when they had appointed him a day, there came many to him and to his lodging, to whom he expounded and testified the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus, both out of the law of Moses and out of the prophets, from morning till evening. So Paul's good news was concerning God's Son, and we read which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. The Scriptures of old spoke of the Lord Jesus Christ, and his coming, and his death, burial, and resurrection. Now Paul adds to what the Old Testament wrote. He adds things that were not previously revealed, but he can point back and say this is all connected. It's all connected. Remember on the road to Damascus, read it for yourself, Luke 24, where the Lord Jesus appears to two people who are walking away from Jerusalem. And it says that he opened up the scriptures, in all the scriptures, the law, the prophets, and the psalms, and spoke in them. You know what, instead of quoting by memory here, I'm going to turn here in Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24, pardon me while I look for the verse here, and verse 26, the Lord Jesus is, let's go to verse 25, Luke 24, 25, then he said unto them, the Lord Jesus speaking to these two, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did you hear that? Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. All the scriptures. And let me just encourage you, those of you who have listened to me before know that I acknowledge and teach the unique message that Paul proclaimed, but friends, all the scriptures are important. Be Bible readers. Study the scriptures from cover to cover. If you listening to me, you can get through the scriptures once a year if you just take time to do it. Turn off the TV. Turn off the TV for a while and sit down and just read it. Don't worry about how much you understand. Let God's Spirit open up the scriptures to you, just like the Lord Jesus opened up the scriptures to the two on the road to Emmaus there. Well, Paul has this great good news, and it's concerning God's Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, and he was promised in the scriptures afore. And Paul's message didn't come out of thin air. It was built and based upon what went before. Well, thank you for joining me. This is Dan Sheridan. You've been listening to Sheridan on Romans. Join us again tomorrow as we continue in this verse-by-verse study. And if you want to keep this program going, please consider supporting us by sending your check to Dan Sheridan at P.O. Box 421, Round Lake, Illinois, 60073. Again, that's P.O. Box 421, Round Lake, Illinois, 60073. Or you can go to crossandthrone.com and see all this stuff on our website for free. And if you want to call me, it's 847-312-4676. Have a great day.